You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. Today, we will be speaking with C. Terrence McCormick, Director of the Community Forensic Services Unit for the New York State Office of Mental Health. The office provides consultation, training, and technical assistance to enhance coordination between the local criminal justice and local mental health systems. In his role with the office, Mr. McCormick has participated in the development and implementation of programs such as suicide prevention and crisis intervention in county jails and police lockups, criminal justice interventions for mental health providers, and mental health training for parole staff. His most recent efforts have focused on persons with mental illness returning to their communities from state prison, which has resulted in transitions training, a program for mental health administrators, a parole support and treatment program for homeless persons with dual disorders being released from state prison to New York City, and also dedicated parole caseloads for persons with mental illness under parole supervision in the community. Today, Mr. McCormick will discuss some of the issues facing persons with mental illness being released from prison, as well as New York's transitions program. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Mr. McCormick.
Thank you, Keith. So it's a pleasure to be here and have this opportunity.
Great. I guess first I want to start with identifying maybe some of the barriers to successful reentry for persons with mental illness released from prison.
Well, Keith, we had an opportunity a few years ago to do what we call an ex-offender residential demonstration program, where we pulled together large providers and talked to them about what were the issues that they faced as we made referrals from prison to the community. And I'm going to divide it into two different areas of barriers, personal and systemic. For the personal, the inmate culture in prisons, in jails and prisons, is one that really mitigates against using mental health services. So often people go through the prison system without having their mental illness detected. Another personal issue is consumers have had prior experiences with some human service systems and not found them helpful, so that they don't view then the mental health system is going to be any more help than what they've received in the past. And then finally, for the majority of people in prison, there's also a substance abuse issue, and for many of them also a trauma issue. And these issues in general haven't been dealt with, and so the person returns to the community experiencing a lot of discomfort but really not understanding why.
Right. Now, from a corrections point of view, why should corrections administrators be interested in the community provider's response to these individuals who are coming from their facilities back to the community?
Well, the there's emerging case law right now that is starting to require discharge planning for people with mental illness coming out of jails and prisons. In one case, a case called Wakefield versus Thompson, the courts found that the prisons are required to assure that inmates with mental illness have a supply of psychiatric medications upon release. This is one of the basic services of discharge planning. In a much larger case in New York City, a case entitled Brad versus New York City, Brad H, excuse me, versus New York City. This is going to be this case hasn't been decided yet, but it's pretty clear that it's going to set the standard for comprehensive discharge planning from jails. There are different efforts states are making to address this issue. One in Washington State, McNeil Island, is a preparation program for people being released where they do some discharge planning, linking them to the community also. If I could, though, I'd like to go back just for a second to the first question and just mention
Sure.
a little bit of the systems issues that we face when you go to do discharge planning. Prisons are far away from the home community of the individuals generally. And so this presents not only a personal challenge for the individual, but also for the people who are trying to do discharge planning because they don't have direct access to resources that are in their neighborhood. And often, in all cases, entitlements have been terminated. So if they were on disability benefits before, they've been terminated while they've been incarcerated and have to be restarted on the way back to the community. And, of course, medications are a critical issue for people with mental illness because they, with the medications, they can function better, but without them they can't, and they often don't have access to medications on the way out to the community. And finally, of course, then there's a natural resistance by providers to serve people who are being released from prison for fear the different fears that they have.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe elaborate on that last point? Why would human service providers be hesitant to treat this population?
Sure. Well, a lot of it is really a lack of knowledge about the criminal justice system and its significant impact on people with mental illness. I mean, most people do not understand that people with mental illness are more apt to be arrested, are detained and sentenced more severely, and serve longer sentences than other people who have committed similar crimes. So there's a general fear of this population,
right,
both on the criminal justice side and the providers. The other part, of course, is a general belief that anyone who has been to prison is violent, and that's a very hard image to shake for people.
Mm-hmm. So these people coming from facilities with mental illness do definitely carry the stigma of both being an ex-offender and having mental illness.
Sure. And of course, for providers, when you think about the they have income needs. The agencies have to generate income. And without any entitlements, this then threatens their economy, let's say. And so it's very important that the Medicaid and other entitlements be in place. Finally, I think one of the biggest challenges that providers face is individuals with mental illness who have been released from prison are what I call full-service customers. And we don't always have full-service agencies to serve them. As I mentioned before, there's usually a substance abuse issue involved. There's a good chance trauma has occurred in a person's life and it needs to be dealt with. They've been homeless. There's a lot of people who are homeless upon release from prison. So they don't come in presenting with just one need of mental health services, but have a whole array of services that they need. And so providers have to not only either gear up themselves or to join into coalitions with other providers so that they can coordinate the many needs that this person has and the services that they need.
That's a very good point. If you're just joining us, we are talking to C. Terrence McCormick of the New York State Office of Mental Health Community Forensic Services Unit on reentry issues for offenders with mental illness returning to the community. Now, talk to me a little bit about the Transitions Training Program in New York State and how that begins to address provider concerns.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do was to challenge this whole image of the stereotype that people had about people being released from prison with mental illness. And what we've done in the training is that the training is actually delivered by consumers, people with serious mental illness who have been through prison and released to the community. We have a consumer co-trainer, a mental health trainer, and then we bring in panels of three or four individuals with mental illness who were released from prison, and they get interviewed by the consumer co-trainer and by the class, by the participants. We target administrators and supervisors for this training because the training really educates them about the whole array of services and staff competencies that are needed in order to do this program, and in order to serve this population, excuse me. And, of course, that means agencies are going to have to make some changes, and so administrators and supervisors need to be the first to get on board with that. In order to do this, we have an agency called Howie Harp Advocacy Center out of New York City under the direction of Laverne Miller, and they actually identify consumers with serious mental illness and prepare them for this role as a co-trainer and panelists. The Advocacy Center is a consumer-run agency and actually has another program, which I'll mention a little later, around forensic peer specialist training. But a little bit more about the training itself. I think some of the modules we will talk to the providers to teach them, how do you work with the parole system? It's not the same as working with fellow mental health providers, and there's certain information that needs to be exchanged and coordination that needs to occur. We let them know about what training's available. I mean, in New York State, we have a safety training for mental health workers in the community. We have a dual disorder training that we're bringing up, teaching people how to serve people who have both substance abuse and mental illness. We have a criminal justice training, a 101 that we do for line staff. We have a whole series of training programs that we've developed over the years, and we try to make sure that these administrators know about these programs and that they are available to them. At the end of the training, the administrators receive a resource manual which tells them how to access all these trainings. One of the other unique pieces on the training, and I'll let you chat here for a minute, is that the we do focus in what's also called evidence-based practices. This is something that's happening in the generic mental health system where they talk about practices of mental health treatments that have been researched and been shown to be effective in working with persons with mental illness. And what we're finding is these also work very well with people with serious persistent mental illness who come out of the criminal justice system. We find that use of certain atypical psychiatric medications can reduce arrest rates. The use of assertive community treatment teams can actually be used as a diversion program or a reintegration program for people coming out of jails and prisons. So we know that these evidence-based practices work, and we try to make sure that these administrators know that this is available to them also.
Excellent. One of the things I wanted to touch upon was something you mentioned early on about the transitions program, and that's having persons with mental illness as the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of their feelings on being trainers and really taking a first-person perspective and explaining the issues that offenders like themselves or ex-offenders like themselves are facing upon reintegration?
Well, these consumers have been tremendously excited about this opportunity to go ahead and make a difference for people, for other people with serious mental illness who are coming out of state prison. I think if people tune in and take a look at the short videotape, promotional tape that we have listed on your website and then we have available through New York State Office of Mental Health, you'll see some of them being interviewed and talking about this real privilege of having the opportunity to share what works and what doesn't work for people with mental illness coming out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things, of course, was kind of comical for me was that one of the trainers was talking and saying, you know, I was shocked to find out that people were afraid of me, that they were afraid of people coming out of prison, that we were somehow going to take over their clinics. And so it's a really an interesting set of interviews.
Yeah, that's excellent. And we will mention where people can check out that video later. Are there other reentry initiatives involving people with mental illness who have criminal justice histories that you can talk about?
Well, prior to transitions, we were very fortunate in New York State to have some very large mental health agencies step up and work with us to try to understand what were some of the best practices to work with people coming out of prison in particular. A large agency in New York City named FBGS has an excellent multi-service system, Heritage Health and Housing out in New York City also, SUS, Project Renewal. There's a whole series of agencies that really have stepped up to work with us. But I think since transitions, what I've seen is it actually has motivated our consumer community. We have mental health agencies that are run by people with mental illness. They're consumers themselves. And they have actually stepped up and now have brought to the table some consumer-driven initiatives. As I mentioned before, Howie Harp Advocacy Center in New York City runs a forensic peer specialist training and employment program where they help consumers who have criminal justice histories to become mental health workers and advocates in our mental health system. And this leads to gainful employment within our mental health system. Hands Across Long Island, another consumer-run agency, is running a program called Consumers with Conviction, where they actually go into jail and into prison and do support groups with people with serious mental illness and begin to teach them about how they could use the mental health system to get to where they want to be in life as opposed to feeling like it's going to tell them where they have to go in life. So these are kind of cutting-edge two new programs that we're just implementing now.
That's excellent. Those are excellent resources for our audience. Now, how can people access information or get more information on transitions training?
Well, if there are people from New York, if there are particularly mental health agencies from New York or human service providers from New York who are interested in the program, they can contact directly Ms. Tommy Harper at the Howie Harp Advocacy Center at the area code 212-865-0775. We do the transitions training through the Advocacy Center, and her number is 212-865-0775. For providers outside of New York State, I would have them contact me directly. My internet address is T. McCormick, McCormick, at omh.state.ny.us, or they could call me at area code 518-402-6376. We could share with them, loan them a short video on the transitions program, and if they wanted us to come to their state and, as a demonstration, we would work with them on something like that.
That's fantastic. That'd be just from watching the video myself, it would be great to have other states find interest in transitions and see how it works in other states and other counties and other jurisdictions, and see if the formula that's working for you all in New York extends elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And as Mr. McCormick mentioned, if you'd like more information on the transitions training program, you can go to our Live Talk page and access an 18-minute promotional video right there on the page with lots of information and also the contact information Mr. McCormick mentioned earlier. That concludes today's Live Talk. We thank Mr. McCormick for joining us today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Keith.
And thank you to our audience as well. For more information on mental health issues and corrections, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. And we also invite you to join us in the near future as we take a look at HIV, AIDS, and corrections during our next Live Talk. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.